And we're coming back into the third hour of the Borden Report. P.J. Borden is my name. And I must say again, I'm extremely grateful to Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center, which is set up to fight this Agenda 21. That was outstanding 2 hours. And I hope to have him on sometime again, very, very soon, on this entire area, because it's the very epicenter of the battle we're fighting to take your country back, that being the United States and our Britain here. But and in that regard, I could read out endless reports on the carry-on in Britain here and Brexit. But one thing about the Agenda 21 and the Illuminati, they've been holed under the water with Britain leaving the European Union. This has really put the cat among the pigeons. But very soon I want to do a program on entirely on the EU and Brexit, because it's the template of their building the European Union that's failing. It's the template for the destruction of the United States. And there's 10 mega crises building in the United States, two visible, two emerging, but there's actually 10. And it's going to wipe it out. And these schmucks in the EU are now admitting, after denying it for years and years, that they're trying to form an EU army over and on top of NATO. I mean, what do they think they're doing? But it won't be an EU army. It'll be a rapid reaction force to put down dissent in the European Union. And if they had already had it in place, they would have sent it into Catalonia, and that in turn would have spiked a civil war. And that is where the European Union is heading with all the crises. By I just deal with that Catalonia thing. That what's happened there is accurately reported, but the scene behind it is not reported. The Catalonia, and it's a terrible endemic problem with Latino countries, the way they argue, like their opinions are more important than the facts. The abiding problem, they should not be looking for independence in Catalonia. They already have a regional government, and it's a very wealthy part of Spain within Spain, but Spain is in a horrendous recession caused by being members of the euro. And then I have to check myself again there and qualify. The euro is not a weak currency. It's a quite strong currency, but it's too strong a currency for the Latino countries like Spain, Portugal, Italy, and Greece. And they should be organizing a tax strike against the government. That would be far more effective, not paying any tax to the federal Spanish government until they leave the euro. And that would be the beginning of the solution of their problems. But again, they won't report that at the BBC or anything, or certainly on America, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing coming up in Europe and the European Union is many, many things. But there's an election finally coming in Italy, which is like a pressure cooker exploding, and several new parties have been, but the main one, a new party, I forget the name of it, but it is going to be elected in April, May, and the first thing they will do is to try and get Italy out of the euro. And because Italy is in such shocking national debt, the Troika, as it's known as, which is the European Central Bank, the IMF, and the World Bank, have them by the short and curlies, telling them to shut up. Well, they own their politicians, of course. But that's going to burst through the system in April, May. And another thing, I've been sending emails to people, and 35 bloggers and sites, including, what do you call them, need-to-know news, Griffin, who putting out crap about Angela Merkel being re-elected. She has not been re-elected. She's in transition. She's an outgoing government, illegally in power still. But I've been saying all along, and it's coming into view this week, that she will not be able to form a coalition. It has to be a tripartite coalition for her to get back into power. She only got 30% of the vote. And the new party that has emerged in Germany, an alternative for Germany, which is got 90 seats there. They are certainly not going to coalesce with her. And Eden Martin Schulz, who is a replica of her in the Socialist Party, is not going to go into coalition with her. So she's snookered. So there'll be another election in Germany. So it's all working well for people like us who are Brexiteers here in Britain. And what we sadly have here is a very weak Prime Minister, Theresa May, who's stumbling along, who called an unnecessary election, lost her majority. She has had numerous ministers she had to fire who won over a minor sexual thing, or defense minister. And now if you touch your girlfriend's kneecap and you break up with her and you're a politician, they say it's another Harvey Weinstein situation. I mean, it's out of all, Harvey Weinstein thing is deadly serious. I'm not minimizing that. But here in Britain now, it's popping up all over the place. Michael Fallon, the defense minister, was accused by one or two female journalists who had spent three-hour boozy lunches with him about he was made a pass at them, which certainly no rape involved whatsoever. But they are now kicked up against him, and he lost his job. But the other person who was kicked out of the government here, and by God, she deserved to be kicked out, although she was allowed to resign, was Priti Patel, who is this vile little, ambitious little creature, who's the junior minister in the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Foreign Office. She's in charge of Britain's foreign aid budget, which, wait till you hear it, is the junior minister. She's a Jewish Asian, born in Britain, but descended from Uganda nations. She's in charge of £13 billion of foreign aid money. And she went to Israel on a holiday, so-called. It was not a holiday. They were cultivating her. And she had 12 secret meetings with Israeli government ministers. And she didn't tell Theresa May or her boss, Boris Johnson, in the Foreign Office. This then emerged, and she was reprimanded severely when she came back. But Theresa May was made a complete fool of. She also met Priti Patel on a visit there of 12 meetings, but there's 14. I'll come to that in a minute. She met Benjamin Netanyahu. And she promised British foreign aid money to be given to the Israeli military. I'll come to that in a second. And then Netanyahu comes here. This happened last August in October to a meeting to celebrate the Balfour Agreement about the setting up of Israel, which Britain was the people, the country that really set it up. It was actually set up in 1948. The Balfour Agreement was a motion of intent in 1917, 100 years ago. But he didn't tell her. He made a complete fool of Theresa May. And then after Priti Patel went back to her job and went off to a trip to West Africa, it emerged she had two other meetings, including going to the Golan Heights to an Israeli military hospital and visiting that hospital with the military there. Now, that is not recognized by Britain, the Golan Heights, believe it or not, although Britain very pro-Israel. And that hospital, which the British press missed this point completely, is the one that is looking after ISIS fighters injured in Iraq and Syria, right? And it is shocking, absolutely shocking. But on and on it goes. That's the state of play in British politics. At the moment, I'm just trying to renew my screen here. I'll just have to do something here. I'll be finished in a second. Just typing something here for the board up. One second, we'll have this right in a second. One second. Just typing, being a one-finger typist is a terrible impediment. I've just nearly finished this. But anyway, we have a caller, Fred in Michigan.
Hey, later, BJ.
Yep.
I really want to commend you on your theme music. That's really great. And you had a great interview with Tom DeWeese, was it?
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah, I know he's outstanding. Yeah, very good guy.
Yeah, I remember learning about his endeavor. Gosh, 20 years ago, I think it was. Because Ron Paul had this thing called American Sovereignty Restoration Act, and I think Tom DeWeese was sort of like the lead organization for that. And you know, of course. When Tom spoke about American law being, what's the word, subverted, subjugated, what I remember reading somewhere is that this woman on the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan, when It was at Harvard Law School as its law school dean. Elena Kagan, terminated American constitutional law curricula for international Talmudic law curricula.
You're on your hobby horse again.
There's even a website called
Talmudic law. That's not the basis. That's not the basis of everything, by the way. It just is not the basis of everything, right?
The legal system and the monetary system, PJ, runs everything just like it does in England. In fact, there's a video you can
see.
That's
a separate matter. There's no argument about it. We know that. We know the legal and the financial and debt system is designed to entrap us and enslave us. We know that. We cover that ad infinitum on RBN, on every other thing. But is there any other point to make?
Let's see. There's a brilliant group in Wales. It's called Sovereign Wales. Sovereignwales.com is the YouTube or the internet site. And those guys, and who knows, women, they have a stellar presentation regarding the clergy. The clergy, a couple of weeks ago, you spoke about the birth of the EU and all that. Well, this guy, Kudenhove Kalergi, from Austria, his dad was some big-time elitist, and his mom was from some royalty of Japan. And Kalergi,
you're going off into stuff here. By the way, I know almost of what's going on in Wales here. I've never heard of it. Hold on. I've never heard of Sovereign Wales Group. I've never heard of them, by the way. I don't know where you've heard of them, but I know most of the groups.
They have one of the most, if not the most stellar account of the Kudenhove Kalergi plan to destroy the indigenous ethnic people of Europe. And he's the godfather of the EU. He wrote a book called Practical Idealism in 1922. Okay? This guy is the godfather. It all emanates from him and his backers. Okay? So you ought to really read that report from sovereignwealth.com sometime.
Okay, Ken, we'll move on. I have other calls waiting anyway. We talk to you sometime again, Fred, okay? I've never heard of that group. I really haven't. I have not. But, again, my friend, spieling on about stuff. I'm trying to keep it connected items today. Tom DeWeese is talking about these young people who are, a lot of them, well-intentioned, but they're so propagandized, it's shocking. And like I was talking about the rising tide lifting all boats. Nobody of current generation can remember that period. They lived in crisis. We've lived in economic crisis of different types for 25, 30 years now. And everything is debt, government debt, corporate debt, family debt. It's shocking. And they're talking about free enterprise is wrong. Well, it's not free enterprise is the problem. It's the multinational monopolies and being mired in debt that's crippling people. And this Agenda 21, which is designed to cripple people even further. And that's what we were talking about today. And Tom DeWeese has a tremendous handle on it. I'm very impressed with him. He has gone through the wars on this. He's put in about, must be 25 years of work into it, just like John Stadtmuller in RBN here. And it's a debacle. But I've been talking about what we're living under here in the UK, all the things attached to Brexit, and I bore people to tears with that phrase. I know they're probably even getting fed up with it in the United States, which is the biggest thing Britain has had to deal with since World War II. And what's going on is Theresa May is a very weakened Prime Minister. She's a bunch of ministers arguing like cats in a sack, and they're all vying for her job as well. And the European Union are delighted, and they're treating Britain like shit. And so the row is getting very, very vicious, and there's a secondary argument within that. Because Britain and Ireland are very well close connected, Ireland is divided north-south. The small part of Northern Ireland is part of Britain. The south is will be in the EU, but Northern Ireland will be out of it. Therefore, they do not want to recreate what they call a hard border. Nobody wants it. Northern Ireland doesn't want it. Britain, Southern Ireland doesn't want it. Britain doesn't want it. But the fourth person in the game who have the power to relieve the problem is the European Union. And they're playing games with this. This problem is the problem of unintended consequences. But I'll do a separate piece on it sometime. But another story out of London here is 6 out of 10 babies in London are born to foreign mothers. And the birth rate in Britain, by the way, in the white population, is now, it takes 2.1 births per 100,000 to maintain a population. It's now down to 1.2. But 6 out of 10 are born to foreign mothers. And they say more than 6 in 10 babies born in London hospitals have foreign mothers who are either immigrants or visiting from abroad. Yes, what they call health tourism is going on here. People come in here to use the British NHS. I mean, at its best, it is extremely good. But it's overloaded. That's the problem with the NHS. It's overloaded with the population and immigration absorption of 5 million people in 20-odd years. And we can thank Tony Blair and David Cameron and indeed Theresa May, who was Home Secretary for 7 years and did absolutely nothing to reduce the numbers of people coming in here. I mean, it's absolute disgrace. She has no record of doing any, as long as she's been in politics. And in the Home Office, which is the Department of Justice, in fact, she's in charge of immigration, the police and the courts, and she achieved nothing. The numbers skyrocketed up, 300,000 a year coming in here in a country of 68 million people. But this article is going on to say the evidence of the impact of immigration on the NHS was revealed in a breakdown of hospital records for last year published by the Office of National Statistics. It comes amid concerns about the effects of fast rising population levels and the cost of the public health tourism. Holy hell, tourism, yeah, that's another thing. It also comes as health service faces a shortfall of 3,500 midwives. Well, it's in the hole for several billion, they have to, and the budget is next week, and Philip Hammond, depressing git that he is going to have to come up with another £4 or £5 billion to keep it just as it is. He said in one London hospital, nearly 4 out of 5 births were to mothers born abroad. And in two hospitals, the figures were over 70%. Across the country, just over 28% of babies in 2016 were born to foreign-born mothers, up from just over 11% in 1990. According to the ONS, that's the Office of National Statistics, the levels are higher in London because a large population of migrant families settle in the capital. Well, London is 52% ethnic now. The ONS figures show the hospital with the largest proportion of babies born to foreign mothers was Northwick. And they're going into very big detail here about the individual hospitals. But that is another burning issue here in the UK in the midst of Brexit. But and they're saying so much for Brexitus. They're calling migrant workers here from the EU hit a record high. The number of European Union citizens working in Britain shot up to record levels last year. More than 100,000 new arrivals settled here, despite claims that a post-Brexit atmosphere made Europeans feel unwelcome and uncertainties over their future. Official figures show that the EU workforce in the UK reached its highest ever total. The number of people from the EU working here, 2.3 million. But it has to be said, I shouldn't clarify a point here. Genuine unemployment in the UK is about 5%. That's genuine. You can't fiddle the figures here too easily. There's too many independent bodies auditing the figures. But anyway, we're going up to the first break of the third hour, and we should be back in about 3 minutes.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any
clear thinking, consensus, or rationale. Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back in from the first break of the third hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. I should give out the phone number which I have today, but I did want Tom DeWeese to get through a lot of stuff first, which is important. But if you have anything seriously new to add to this, what we've been talking about today, Agenda 21, etc., the phone-in number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And just staying on the same theme about what we're putting off with here in the UK, disabled jihadi who came here for NHS care then used the UK as a terrorist base. I mean, they can just walk into this country here. We're supposed to have immigration control here, but it's pretty crap. A disabled terrorist came to Britain for NHS treatment, then used his jihadi contacts to send UK fighters to Islamic State, a court heard yesterday. An unpronounceable name, Abra Abadali, 24, has been left paralyzed from waist down when he was shot fighting Colonel Gaddafi's regime in Libya in 2011, jurors were told. Well, these people are tribal Arabs, and I knew that when Gaddafi went, they would start attacking each other over disputes from hundreds of years ago. It says here, after coming to the UK for treatment, he then acted as a communications hub to help jihadis join ISIS. IS, while he was confined to a wheelchair and living in Manchester with family, the Old Bailey Court in London, here, that's the big high court, criminal court in London. As a result of his help, Abadarius, whatever his name is, his brother Mohammed, who is accused of terrorist charges along with Nezer Kanafi, 27, and Raymond Matabi, 28, all managed to sneak into Syria and join ISIS, the court was also told. He also arranged for Mohammed, his brother was it, who also lived in Manchester, to collect £2,000 and Russian machine gun while he was en route to Syria, it was alleged. The Old Bailey court heard, but the group was set up to meet with Stephen Gray and a former RAF pilot who converted to Islam, another one, after a tour of duty in Iraq. But, well, if you've no beliefs and you're gullible, you'll be convert to anything. But Gray was refused entry to Turkey and returned home to Manchester. This is the convert guy from the RAF. Mark Haywood, QC, prosecuting, said Muhammad and Khalafi disguised their destinations by travelling via Libya, reaching Syria by July 2014. The central and focal point of their plans and communications was their defendant brother. I can't pronounce the name. Jurors heard that he also used Skype and encrypted messaging to apps to contact his brother, etc., etc., etc. I think he came here for NIH treatment and then set up a terrorist cell. Very good. That's regular stories in the Daily Mail of what's going on in Britain today. And a similar story to the USA, just by the by, is about the debt problem. 80% of students here will not be able to repay their student loans. Well, they get the student loans to go to college to do a crap courses in rubbish. Like most of the engineering faculties of British universities are shut down because people are not doing, men or blokes are not, young guys are not doing engineering. And this used to be the engineering capital of the world at one time, the home of Brunel. But for Brunel would turn his grave if he saw the agenda and syllabus of the universities of this country now. It says 8 in 10 of today's students will never fully repay their tuition fee loans, a study has claimed. Research by education charity Sutton Trust suggests that an increase in the repayment threshold means 81% of graduates will not pay back what they owe to the government. The decision to raise the minimum earning level at which loans repayments kick in from 21,000 to 25,000 means much larger pool of earners. Well, very simply, they should just put it in a graduated tax deduction starting, say, 5 years after you start work. But again, we have a quadrupling of the number of people going to universities doing absolutely useless courses. It's a joke. I usually ask young people with a sense of dread what they're doing at university, and 90% of the time I am shocked what they're wasting their time on. But and just a final story about the EU. The EU, this total bureaucratic edifice that should never have been created in the first place, well, they want to double their spending to $250 billion. oh, God help us, it's shocking. Brussels should ignore complaints about the EU's excessive spending and double its taxpayer-funded budget, one of the bloc's top officials said. Well, he's a sponsored cluck with golden handcuffs, grossly overpaid. And this is the business correspondent of the Daily Mail, Mario Ledwith. European Parliament President Antonio Tajani called for Brussels to get tax-raising powers to increase its annual spending power to $250 billion. See, they're empire building here. They think they're building an empire, nearly in a state of collapse. The senior MEP stoked tensions by insisting that Brexit divorce bill paid by Britain should be at least $53 billion. Britain owes a maximum of $20 billion of its written, agreed contracts with the European Union. That's it. And initially there, a few months ago, they were putting out the lie of the European Union that Britain would have to pay £100 billion to leave. Well, no organization or country in the world who made a trade agreement with any other country or groups in the world has ever had to pay a fee for it. Never. And another part of this article is saying the Italian politician, this guy, MEP, member of the European Parliament, which is a joke toy parliament with no powers to do anything. It's an absolute total joke. They can't amend, they can amend legislation, but they can't make legislation, and they can't change legislation. The European Commission of Appointed Commissioners make the legislation. That's what the European Union is made up of. But this guy demanding that it doubles its budget. Well, there, another point I've read it out before. Of all the bent, and I know most of the major five world-class auditing companies, KPMG and the rest of them, even none of them will sign the accounts of the European Union for 20 years because there's so much money missing, they can't do the accounts of the European Union. That is a fact. It is rotten to the core at every level, absolutely every single level. And they're talking about the EU army here. EU nations agreed to, they're going ahead of this. This is insane. These countries are European Union, the 27 out of the 28. Britain's the 28th country, so it'll be 27 when they leave. Just read this piece briefly. EU nations agreed to club together to boost their defence power yesterday. It was the latest step towards what crisis could be a Brussels army. So in 23 of the European Union's 28 member states pledged to increase their defence spending and to pool resources to buy and develop items such as drones, tanks and aircraft. Really, Britain refused to sign up but has quietly dropped opposition to closer EU military integration and has pushed for an option to join an arrangement. Well, outside of that, well, they're leaving the European Union anyway, but the main people who have been running NATO is the United States and Britain. And these schmucks in the European Union would tell you that the European Union has kept the peace in Europe since World War II. That is rubbish. The peace in Europe between East and West has been kept by NATO, the existence of NATO. But again, more of the propaganda. That's absolute, total rubbish. But to go back to an environmental story, not sustainability, but the thing, 15,000 scientists saying human life is at risk on this planet. Human life is at a growing risk from a range of environmental disasters. Scientists warned yesterday, extinction of planet and animal species, loss of trees, water shortages, and catastrophic climate change were all listed by the 15,000-strong Union of Concerned Scientists. I'd love to analyze who these are. I don't know who these people are. Because usually the Global Warming Brigade was a bunch of 2,500 scientists, of which three-quarters of them were not scientists. They were environmental writers from journalists, from left-wing journalists, by the way. Which put out the first edition of the global warming scam. And these 15,000 scientists are saying, they said that since 1992 there has been progress in just one risk area, reducing damage to the ozone layer. Well, maybe. Runaway consumption of limited resources by surging global populations was cited as the biggest danger. They pointed out that fresh water supplies had fallen by 26% per person in 300 million acres of forest in the last years. Well, the people being allowed in the United States, sort of point the finger at the Yankees, you Yankees out there, allowed to use sprinklers on their lawns is outrageous. I was shocked to see that in Colorado in a very hot climate during the summer. I mean, that's an outrage, gross abuse of using water. And the likes of Nestle allowed to ship water across the Atlantic from the Great Lakes for peanut money and then sell it as bottled water. That's another scandal, which, again, the mainstream media can't be bothered to cover. But there's articles going on and on and on saying about pollution. Well, it was a saying to Tom DeWeese, it's pollution that needs to be the main driver that we need to clean up. And there's one such story here, too, actually. But sea creatures 7 miles down are eating plastic. And that is, I mean, major stories about this. It's quite terrifying. Sea creatures in the deepest place on Earth have been found with plastic in their stomachs. The tiny crustaceans almost 7 miles down in the darkest depths of the Pacific Ocean are eating plastic, say scientists. Well, the Pacific Ocean is polluted with nuclear pollution from Fukushima as well. That's not even to mention that. The finding now means that nothing living in the world's area remains untouched by man-made rubbish. Every creature sampled at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, that's the deepest part of the Pacific, in the Pacific, had swallowed microscopic plastic fragments, including nylon, polyethylene, and poly-PVC. The deepest point of the trench, Challenger depth of 6.7 miles down. Well, Dr. Alan Jameson from Newcastle University, who led the study, called the results immediate and startling. He said the deep sea is not only the ultimate sink for any material that descends from the surface, but is also inhabited by organisms well adapted to low food environment, and these will often eat just about anything. The study accepted for publication, but not yet published, took samples of 90 90 individual crustaceans from the trenches, which spanned the entire Pacific Ocean. And they found that an estimated 300 million tons of plastic littered the ocean. 300 million tons of plastic end up in the ocean, with more than 5 trillion plastic pieces weighing over 250,000 tons. But the person writing that is Victoria Allen, a science correspondent for the Daily Mail. There's no story last week, but it's worth repeating. The same carry-on going on in Britain here on a smaller basis, like in California, where a young teacher is facing the sack who accidentally called a transgender boy a girl. And this young chap, I sincerely hope people gather around this guy and support him. And this, we have this creep, absolute creep, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of the Church of England, giving out guidance that young boys should be allowed to wear what they want to school and that you don't define gender until a much larger, later age. This is the head of the Church of England, an absolute creep. And they've compromised every Christian principle on the earth, the Church of England. But it's the teacher, this young guy's name is Joshua Sutcliffe, who they're trying to make an example of. A very dedicated teacher, it has to say. And he's been put on suspension, I think, and because of a slip of the tongue. I mean, what kind of world are we living in? It's quite a long article here. But so the teacher faces a sack after accidentally calling a transgender pupil girl rather than boy. Joshua Sutcliffe, 27, said the student who identifies as male became irate after he said, "Well done, girls," to him and female friends for working hard. The maths imagine a casual phrase like that. The maths teacher, who does not believe in gender fluidity due to his Christian faith, said he had avoided using he and him when discussing the teenagers and instead called him by his chosen male first name. After the student's parents complained, the teacher, Sutcliffe, was suspended from the state secondary school in Oxfordshire during a probe that he faces a disciplinary hearing this week for which he could lose his job. The teacher, who has not been given any formal advice on how to refer to the pupil, said he believed he had been punished and silenced for his religious belief. Yes, indeed. And a former governor of the school branded this disciplinary action ludicrous, insisting that staff were pandering to the snowflake generation. I've got some appalling examples of teachers who wouldn't allow even to stand up in front of children, never mind assessing how well they're able to teach. I mean, the bunch of scruff who are teaching here in Britain, and then these schools, there's a shortage of teachers. And 85% of teachers in the UK, 80% are women. Men teaching is disappearing. And these supply teachers, who are the dregs mostly, are coming in temporarily to teach children. And you should meet some of them. I live close by to a school here. And they're scum, they really are. And drinking in the pubs after hours as well. But the family main concern is reported to be that Mr. Sutcliffe, the teacher, was picking on their child, that they would not have complained about misgendering on his own had they supported free speech. Well, that's a joke. And Sutcliffe said, "I was absolutely shocked to be told by the head teacher that I was under investigation. I didn't know what was happening. It was surreal, cafesque. I said it was only the only one incident for which I had apologized, etc., etc." But anyway, that carry on is going on here as well. Creep, creep, creep. And this thing of gender, it's manufactured to attack people on every level. And there is one good news story. A young woman who started a business here, although it's a gambling business, her name is Denise Coates. She earned £200 million last year from Bet365, a betting company. And it's listing the highest paid women in the UK here. Denise Coates, $199 million. Ooh, I don't suppose she took it out of the company. She paid too much tax, but she was her first percentage of earnings in the company. Alison Cooper, Imperial Brands, $5 million. That's tiny money, isn't it, compared to 200. Lynn Fordham, $3.9 million. But the top 10 women business people in this country earning very good money. I was just talking the other day to people about the good and the bad and the indifferent of the internet. one of the most successful business people in this country who was the first to understand the Internet was a woman called Martha Lane Fox about 20 years ago, when there was only about 25% of the UK connected to the Internet. She set up lastminute.com, and she made millions and millions and millions of pounds, and she proved what could be done on starting a business on the Internet. So some very, very good businesses have been started, and it's given people like women working with children a leg up, a fantastic start-up in starting small businesses. But Martha Lane Fox, she survived a shocking crash in Africa where she had about 50 major injuries. She's on a walking stick now, but she's a very impressive person. Do look up some of her speeches on YouTube. Martha Lane Fox, an outstanding person, as well as Tim Berners-Lee, an Englishman who's put the Internet together. He is not properly acknowledged for what he has done. But again, going back to some of the things that Tom DeWeese was talking about, these, I don't know, were they millennials, Tom, or were they snowflakes coming up to him after lectures in Cambridge and asking him about the redistribution of wealth? Well, here's a carry-on in America, which these people should get their heads around and go and do something about. A crackdown in charity where they're making it illegal to help feed and help the homeless in certain states in America. And Robert Jonathan is writing this article for Natural News, and he's saying here, in what is perhaps one of the most disgusting examples of the old saying, no good deeds go unpunished, the city of Malibu, California, where else? An upscale Southern California liberal enclave allegedly told a local church to stop feeding the homeless, right? The United Methodist Church of Malibu serves about 100 meals every week, Wednesday, which is not very much, every Wednesday night, and has been doing so for the past 3 years. Recently, the city emailed church leaders, the city council emailed church leaders and asked them to attend a meeting that was apparently convened for homeless outreach organizations. Once there, government officials told the Methodist Church to end the food giveaway after the Thanksgiving holiday, which is next week, the 23rd, I believe. It was exacerbating the problem. They claimed we are increasing homelessness by feeding people. One of the church volunteers told CBS News Los Angeles. Another church member added that many of the homeless individuals eat out of dumpsters and trash cans when they don't obtain their meals from the church. The new Malibu policy created an uproar in the community, and the city now denies that it told the church to shut down the soup line. Typical. According to city manager, the purpose of the meeting in question was to coordinate rather than reduce services to the homeless. And she specifically says no request was made by the city to Malibu Methodist to end the free food night. Well, they're denying what they said. The city followed up with a press release indicating that the dialogue with the charitable groups will continue after Thanksgiving, and that no decisions were made at the initial meeting, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, typical example of, I've seen this from many, I've read out many stories over the last number of weeks of this kind of thing, illegal to help homeless people. The state wants control of everybody, including the homeless. And it's one other, I skipped an environmental story here, the Keystone Pipeline. Operators of the Keystone Pipeline quietly cleaning up a spill of 200,000 gallons of oil from the largest ever leak in South Dakota, showing the major encampment of protesters there. But it's saying here, as many environmentalists and local Native American tribes feared, a massive leak of some 200,000 gallons of about 5,000 barrels of oil has occurred along the section of the Keystone Pipeline in South Dakota, making it the largest oil spill ever. Well, I don't know how they managed to... The engineering work on these lines must be absolutely crap. With gas pipelines put in right along where I... through Wales and into the UK, into Tewkesbury there, right where I lived there last few years ago, and it was done absolutely first-class job by Murphy Pipelines. And we've never had that in the UK. There's pipelines crisscrossing the UK. The military have their own oil supply, etc., etc. And we've never had a leak from a pipeline so far. But anyway, they're saying about this Keystone Pipeline, the company holds this pipeline quietly announced via a November 16th tweet that it is currently responding to an incident in Amherst, South Dakota. We have activated emergency response procedures and dispatched ground crews to assess the situation, the tweet continued. As reported by Circa News, the company said it shut down the pipeline around 6 a.m. on Thursday when it occurred. The spill is the largest Keystone leak to have occurred to date in South Dakota, according to a spokesman from the State Department of Environment. I covered endlessly. There's a fantastic documentary on YouTube about the Williston, North Dakota, the oil boom that occurred there over the last 5 years, although it's curtailed now. They've had 3 oil booms in 100 years. But some of the oil booms finished within weeks, and within a month, 80% of the entire thing was gone. But they have this low, high-grade oil there, what they call sweet oil, and that's what they are taking out of Williston, North Dakota. But anyway, this oil leak, just to finish the story, the network reported that the leak was discovered just days before Nebraska officials are set to announce a decision as to whether the proposed Keystone pipeline, which is a related project, can move forward. Because of the pending nature of that decision, some have speculated that perhaps the Keystone pipeline in South Dakota was sabotaged in an effort to influence Nebraska officials, etc., etc. Now, they're putting these lines in so fast that the engineering work has been compromised. That is absolutely the case. I worked on water systems on the Allman River Dam in Alberta. I know a little bit about civil engineering, but it's well known how they are cutting corners and using low-grade pipe, low-grade welding, and we get this problem. The spill also occurred as Native American tribes in the Dakotas renew their efforts to protect natural water supplies against the potential that they could be contaminated by the recently completed Dakota Access Pipeline. And attorneys for the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes have filed papers in the federal court Wednesday asking a judge to reconsider their proposals regarding the pipeline, which federal officials and pipeline developers have said were not needed. That said, this guy Walsh told CNN, if you hear the truth from them, that the section of pipeline where the leak occurred was buried, really. I don't know why the pipelines are allowed to go overground. I think they'd be encased in concrete. It is below ground pipeline, but some of the oil surfaced above the ground in the grass, etc. But anyway, that's part of the carry-on, which is very little publicity about that pipeline at the moment. But again, there's too many things being reported in the news. It's overlapping. Crisis, overlapping crisis at every level. But just finish off today, a few minutes left. Another story about, again, Agenda 21, really related to this. New Hampshire lawmaker equates homeschooling to child abuse. Can you believe that? Whoa. Having an argument with Chris Ann Hall about that. She's saying everybody should, it's just easy peasy to go into that. It's quite a difficulty for a family to set up homeschooling. They really have to have a very good family structure to do it. But this article written for Activist Post is saying, in 2012, the state of New Hampshire passed a measure that eased the state's intervention into the operations of homeschooling families by reducing the number of filings parents would have to submit in order to get state approval for their efforts to educate their children. This move, according to Homeschool Legal Defense Association, reduce the amount of notice homeschooling parents would have to submit from 3 to 1, and has produced no negative problems since becoming law. Now, 5 years after the 2012 measure was passed, state lawmakers are eyeing the plan to roll back the efforts to ease state intervention by requiring third-party oversight of homeschooling operations. You have the state leading your home. The attack on the 2012 measure was spearheaded by one lawmaker's demonization of homeschooling as child abuse and claims that homeschooling is failing some children. Besides the child abuse homeschooling, there has also been condemned with comments like, half the kids are failing to learn, and if the floodgates, and it's a floodgate for dropouts. Rubbish. Recent comments like these revealed antagonism towards homeschooling among certain fractions of New Hampshire legislature, explaining why we appear heading towards a legislature battle over homeschooling freedom. Well, this is a part of the agenda to attack anything like this under Agenda 21. It's part of the same carry-on. And also, it's known as Common Core, etc., etc. Anyway, we're coming off to the last break today, and we should be back in about 3 minutes.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party. And the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're coming back in for the last break, the last few minutes today, and I'll just finish off with a story here. I'll only get a piece of it. It's a shocking statement. Poppy output hits record high as U.S. troops surge in Afghanistan. As if we didn't know, Afghanistan, rare earth metals being protected there, and the poppy heroin production for the drug trade and for the banks. That's what's going on there. And Rachel Blevins is writing this article for Activist Post. And she said, the opiate crisis has killed thousands in the United States, and as more than 100 Americans die every day, opium poppy cultivation has hit a record high in Afghanistan in 2017. Coincidentally, President Donald Trump's troop surge in Afghanistan has essentially been completed, boosting the number of service members on the ground from 11,000 to 14,000, the Pentagon said last week. We've just completed a force flow into Afghanistan. Marine Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie, the Pentagon's joint staff director, said at a news conference. My God, the guy is proud of this. The new number for Afghanistan is now approaching 14,000. Might be a little above that, might be a little below that, as we flex according to the mission. Mission creep, protect the puppies. Yeah. Coinciding with the completion of troop surge, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime and Afghanistan's Ministry of Counter-Narcotics, if you trust them, released a report claiming that the area under opium poppy cultivation increased by 63% in 2016. I shouldn't be laughing, but this is absolutely farcical, reaching a new record high. Considering they used to show these embedded reporters with troops burning poppy fields, strictly for, you know, CNN and these companies, to see what a great job they're doing in Afghanistan. We know what they're doing, protecting the poppy fields. The total area under opium poppy cultivation in Afghanistan was estimated to be 328,000 hectares in 2017, a 63% increase, or 127,000 hectares above the previous year. The level of opium poppy cultivation is now record high and exceeds the formerly highest recorded value in 2014, etc., etc., etc. The report also noted that opium poppy cultivation both intensified and expanded to new regions in 2017, decreasing the number of poppy-free provinces in Afghanistan from 13 to 10, and increasing the number of provinces affected by opium poppy cultivation from 21 to 24, if you can follow that. There is no single reason for the massive 2017 increase in opium poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Rule of law-related challenges such as political instability, lack of government control and security, as well as corruption, have been found to be the main drivers of illicit cultivation. Also impact farmers' decisions, for example. Scarce employment opportunities, right, well, in a third world country, the Stone Age, lack of quality education and limited access to markets. What pedantic way to describe this. But anyway, that's what's going on in Afghanistan. But anyway, as we said, we'll be back this time next week with the Barden Report, and we'll talk to you then.
Worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.